Like a hot mic, like Biden got himself in trouble. Okay. So if you go through the end of Parshas Pekudei, not the end, I'm talking about the beginning, it's just endless. Everyone gets nervous. Truma Tetzava, Vayakov Pekudei. Everyone just writes it off, but you just see these endless amounts of psukim, of all the gold and the kesef, Bekala Gugolas, endless. Vimas Kikra Kesef. Then it says, Unechosha, I couldn't even put it all on the piece of paper, I had put out a booklet. Unechosha Satnufa, okay, till the end of the Perek, till the end of Perek Lamaches. So you have Pasuk of Dalet. I put on the sheet two psukim. Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes. Lamed, Lamed Aleph. So that's like a lot of psukim. And you think, okay, I'm not into mathematics so much, but for those people who are into gold, silver, copper, they get a nice rendition here of how much gold, silver, and copper there was in the Beis Hamikdash. If you're an architect, maybe it's good to know. But here the Sephorno, it looks like he's addressing this. Like, look at all of the information. So the Sephorno says, Heyed al kitzos hazov al kes and achoshes, shen nichnesov and lechz ha-mishkan. The Torah testifies to the exact amounts of gold, silver, and copper that were in the Mishkan. So it's like a Rashi. You know, that's the answer. The question is, ding, 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 why did the Torah, I assume you got this step, why did Torah write so much about the gold, silver, and copper? So it's a good seven psukim. Why so much detail? So if you want to say that the Torah wants to feel, they should tell you, you know, how much gold, silver, and copper is in the Mishkan. It's good to know. I wouldn't argue. If you tell me it's good to know, but we know the Torah is not a history book. It's not just giving you the archives and some museum of how much gold was there. There's a reason. So this Sephorno tells you, you know what the reason is? Because it was a relatively small amount, which I didn't chap. It's a relatively small amount. In comparison, relative to the Bayis Rishon, there's relatively small amount. As we see in Sefer Malachim, I looked it up, it goes through the enormously more amounts of gold, silver, and copper in the Bayis Rishon, then there's Mishkan. The Yosri Menu, Ha'osha Shaybin Ahordas, and the Bayis Rishon was a pittance to the tremendous amounts of gold, silver, and copper that were in Bayis Shedi, Hordas. You know, the Gemara says last year how much Hordas did to the Bayis Midrash. Misha lo ro, Beis Hamikdash al Hordas, lo ro, something, you didn't see anything beautiful in your lifetime, okay? So there's so much, beauty in the Bayis Sheni was much more than the Bayis Rishon, which was much more than the Mishkan. Vim kol zeh, and despite the great amount, Yoser, vim kol zeh, and nevertheless, Yoser Hismid Mara Kavod Hashem Mishkan Shel Moshe Masha Hismid Mikdash Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whatever Hasmada, his constancy of the Shechina was so much more in the Mishkan than the Bayis Rishon. It was so much more Ashra Shechina in the Mishkan than there was in the Bayis Rishon. Below near a cloud, the Mikdash Sheni. And the cloud, there was nothing. In the Mikdash Sheni, there was no Ashra Shechina at all. Nada. Ubezeh Hora, and from this, what do we see? Shelo Kitzvah Sa'osha. What a gravaldic chiddush we see from this. That after all, in case you were thinking differently, Shelo, seeing that I say that with all sarcasm, Shelo Kitzvah Sa'osha, Regola Binyan, Yiyu Siba, Lahashu Shechina B'Yisrael. That it's not the amount of wealth and structure, great structure and architectural design, which is the cause for the Shechina to rest itself. It's not all this beautiful design that brings about the Hashuas HaShechina in our Beis Medrash. We should have said, we saved ourselves a lot of money, we should have said the Shmuz last year. Avarotza Hashem Esi Reyev, but Hashem wants His feared ones, the Maseim, and their Maseim, the Shachna B'Sochem. That's what He cares about. The Yerushamayim of His people and the Maisim Tovim of His people, that's what dictates Hashuas HaShechina. So first of all, we like to ask the kashas. So I see all my kashas. I mean, so why so many psukim teach you to rule out the possibility that some people would have thought that what really brings Ashkaras Ashkina is all the gold, silver, and copper. I don't even know if I'm, I don't want to spend too much time on the kashka. I don't know if I'm going to answer it, but like, it seems a little bit like that's what you have to write all these psukim for. Isn't that a pasha tenet in Judaism? Anyone going to think that Hashuas HaShechina is going to come from all the extra gold and silver and copper? Number one. Number two, and if it is important to say it, so say it beferish. So one pasuk, knock out seven psukim and just say, Hashuas HaShechina Toloi be Rotzes Hashem is whoever Maseim. Done. Seven words, you're done with all these psukim. But the kasha that got me, and I'm still working on the kasha teretz, but the kasha that got to me is, Kate, the Torah is written for all people, all times. So the Torah was given, as other people in, you know, after they got the Torah. Okay, they have the Torah, the Midbar, and they're learning the Torah, and they're learning through Pashas Pekudei. Okay? Well, how do they learn Pashas Pekudei? They see all these psukim, and there's no Sforno. How could there be a Sephorno? You can't write the Sephorno because who knows how much gold, silver, and copper would be in the Bayis Rishon and how much gold, silver, and copper would be in the Bayis Sheni. Okay, so that you have the Sephorno to teach it to you, but you see such a gavaldic insight here that the Ribono Shel Olam, this probably happens all the time, Ribono Shel Olam is like embedding like a shtickle time capsule. A little time capsule here. It writes down all the denominations of all the gold, silver, and copper in the year, I'm so bad with the chronology, the year, whatever that the card was written, that's not going to become discovered till at least after Bayis Sheni. So how many years between the Torah was given and the Bayis Sheni, Hordus, Bayis Sheni. I'm approximating 1,500 years. So I figured no one's going to shut me up. I don't know, 15, I'm saying 1,500 years. Anybody know if that's approximate? How many? Exactly?
1,500.
Okay. 1,500. I was guessing, but 1,500. Yoni says I'm... Okay. So 1,500 years. So these psukim don't become powerful. They don't explode for 1,500 years. Which I think the chiddush here is, of course the Torah could have written just a pasuk. The pasuk could have said, Perek Lamiches, pasuk of Dalet, could say, Rotz Hashem Esireyev. Finished. Close the book. You don't have to wait 1,500 years. We're done. Vayikra. You know, we're done. But no, that's not the best way to learn. The Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that when it was with self-discovery, when we discovered on our own, it's mamish, a whole different experience. There are a lot of things in the Torah that are written beferish, I presume. But look at the power. I could have said the pasuk, and even afterwards, even if you don't write the pasuk beferish, you write over the details, but still doesn't have its full power. Is not even going to be felt when they're learning it. Torah is for all times, but the Torah is constantly becoming relevant. I assume there's more things constantly becoming relevant. And you see a sort of a pedagogical ploy, a pedagogical method, how to learn. Some things are just, I'm doing this, just Derech Agav. I'm learning this sugya now. I don't know if any of you are learning it, the Maksik Ushasa, but my shir. So is this where it says if it's Shera la Alma, Upsuli Alma, my nafkamina, who cares? Marry whoever he wants if you're following. If you're not, don't worry. And then Mara finally says, no, because Amar of Yosef. Is Rav Yosef. Why should you do chalitza to the ksheira and now she can never marry a kohen? So if you're doing chalitza, do the chalitza to the one who's possible to kohen anyway. Why ruin her for a kohen? So, you know, I have a chavrusa, I don't know a chavrusa. He told me he was once driving the yeshiva to Manhattan for a doctor's appointment. So he parked in Manhattan, it's hard to find a spot. Maybe have to go into a garage, it was very expensive. So he found a spot, close enough, he took the spot. He got to that spot and he starts walking to the office, my Harusa, and the Rashida is not walking, he's walking forward, but he's walking backwards and forwards at the same time. So finally he goes over to Rashida and says, everything okay? He says, the park was good, but it's not a good park, Lashita's with Yosef. They weren't wearing Yavamas, by the way, that year. It's not good, the Shikas of Yosef. Says, says, the Sugya Maksik Roshoso, Rabbi Yosef says, Al Yishbo Chodom may borrow when it's needed lacherim. You're taking up two spots. You know, taking up two spots. That Rashi was holding in Shikas of Yosef. Like, you take up two spots, like, okay, I parked legally, you know, get enough. You know, take that. It wasn't for a yid, it's for somebody else, but she was like uncomfortable taking up two spots. So I learned the sugya like 50 times already, but it was much more powerful when I heard this story. You know, things that we learn, that we discover on our own, not that that story is such a good raya, but things that we discover. If you could let someone discover something, the Torah is showing us, you discover it, let them discover it on their own, is so much more powerful of a message that here the Torah wrote seven psukim. Seven psukim. So I was always confused. You count the first one or the last one. It's seven psukim. The seven psukim, the Torah wrote that for 1,500 years, didn't have its full meaning, but it was kedai to write it that way, because about 1500 years, Chai Yisrael won't get it. Ah, but when they get it, it'll be so much more powerful. It'll be such a powerful lesson. So first of all, we have to constantly search to discover. We have to search to discover, because we wait for our mentors and Rebbeim to tell it to us, our parents to tell it to us. They're going to tell you the commandments, and nobody wants to listen to anyone. Nobody listens to anyone. By the way, if you want a job that no one listens to you, become a Rosh Yeshiva. No one listens to anyone. The only thing that people listen to is what they discover. That's the best way. They discover it on their own. And here we see a perfect example of that. That is my main thing. So did it answer the other questions? Why was there so many psukim? Yeah, it was part of the whole discovery. It's kedai to write seven psukim. Torah doesn't waste a word, but it's kedai to write all those words. I was also thinking that the message that's learned over here, that I want to speak this out also, the message that's learned, you would think is like a davar pashut. Does the Torah have to teach us a davar pashut? You know, if the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, is anyone really going to think that the Hashra'a Shechina is going to come about through Osher and Mammon? But we see another concept, how susceptible, how vulnerable we are. A person, a mensch, constantly, even though he knows simply, the Bonjour is impressed with your money, Bonjour is not impressed with your money. I make a beautiful this and get the Shechina to come. No. You ask somebody, they know that's not what it's about. Yet still, a person has to be taught this again. Mamish, right away. It's one of the in Aleph days, that you think right after Matan Torah, the Torah has to teach you Pekudei, that this lesson should be the most obvious of lessons, what a Ribono Shel Olam is really about, the Doradeya. This is what they know this. They probably gave it over to their children, all the main hashkafas. Probably every Tuesday Vad was, they probably had Vadim, and probably he spoke about that, don't be taken in by Gashmias. If I pressed a button and told you, okay, you have 2 minutes to appear a Vad, what would you say? I give you a bunch of, I don't know, 11th graders in front of you. Okay, go. Each one, what are you going to say? You're going to say that, you know, don't go into Gashmias. Don't worry, the guys want to go, we have to finish high school and go to college because they want to get good parnasa. Oh, don't worry. That's the first thing you can tell them. Don't worry, Gashmi is not everything, money is not everything. That's the first thing you can tell them. What else are you going to say, talk about? That's the first thing any Rebbe tells them. Don't worry so much about Gashmius. So that's what you have to tell us. And it's seven psukim. And it's so partial, but you can't even say it straight because they won't even get it. They won't even be helpful as you do it if you let it explode. Ah, you let it explode. It's the best. That's the best. The best way is self-discovery. It takes a lot of amivus sometimes, even though you know what the answer is. You have to let the Talmud, the Chaver, whatever you speak with, let them self-discover. Let them talk for a long time. Let them self-discover on their own. I was like telling over the story that there was a fellow that I was the Manal. There was a got a message from someone that this boy in the 12th grade is very upset at me because I didn't speak to him about what he's doing next year. And I made an appointment to speak to him many moons ago. So I felt bad. I didn't even know he wanted to speak to me. I wasn't his Rebbe, I was the Nal. The Rebbe told me he's upset, I go come speak to him. So I went to him and I said, you know, I want to speak to you about next year. Oh, you're Maldik? I didn't tell him I heard anything, just I want to speak to you. So I said, I know you want to sit down, you want to go for a walk, you'll go for a walk. So we went for a walk. I think it was the first time I crossed the bridge and went for a walk towards, nobody ever knew what was going on the other side. I was there, I thought it was like big, I don't know what was there. I never ever crossed that. So we started going walking. For 45 minutes, I went for a walk. And I'm not even megazing a key who's there. He spoke for 45 minutes. Tom, he spoke for 45 minutes, all his different reasons and this and that. And we got back to the yeshiva. He says, you know, I feel much better now. Rabbi, thank you for your help. Now I know what I'm going to do. He didn't tell me, I didn't say one word came out in the whole conversation. But whatever, he clarified it on his own, and he felt better. The self-discovery, whatever it was, you know, self-discovery, it's the best method. And even on something that is so pashut, you would feel pashut, but we all grapple with it. Every one of us grapple every single day with this basic tenet of Yiddishkeit. So we have to, you know, learn Musar, even from those basic things are required, and what we discover now, we shouldn't wait to hear the shmooze, even shmooze, the shmooze. The shmooze aren't enough. In sync with what we discover on our own, but brings us to understand and be inspired to do what is right.
I'm not sure if I'm covering more. By Rishon or by Sheni? It was one.
I said by Sheni. Only like 500 years.
Shevchen was 1,000 years, I think.
100 years, 170 years later. Yeah. No, but the Bayesheni heard this. Right.